glad to join you tonight live on March the 18th, moving right along in time, starting a brand new series tonight. And I want you to call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on the air tonight. We're going to talk about the blessings and curses, Deuteronomy chapter 11, where our text is going to spring from the foundation of our thought that we know in whom we believed. Now, the Bible said, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Well, do you think that your divine creator knew beforehand that he would literally, physically, and mentally and spiritually suffer at the hands of the enemy? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, he didn't have any enemies. He loved everybody. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a blessing to those that will serve Yahweh, and then there's a curse for all of those who are of the household of Jacob, who have chosen the curses rather than the blessings. And we're going to discuss that, how to receive the blessings and avoid the curses, or how to accept the curses and to avoid the blessings. You got to choose this day who you'll serve. Did you know that materials is one of the things that can bring both blessing and curses? Now, Solomon described the situation like this. Father, don't make me too rich, or at least I forget you. But don't make me too poor and hungry, at least I curse you. Well, Yahweh knows how to give you good balance. It's your discretion to choose the good, separate the good from the bad, make the right decisions. And there's a prayer that you must pray every day. Lead us not into temptations, and holy be thy name. So if you recognize the holy name of Yahweh, if you walk upright and serve him, and choose that which is good, and shun that which is evil. Did you know that evil can present itself in such ways to attract you? That's one of Satan's best weapons, is to make things appear different than what they actually are. I'll give you an example. Remember the spies, after 400 years of hard labor in Egypt? Yahweh delivered the children of Jacob, Israel, out of the land of darkness and bondage and enslavement and curses. But they had a choice. They were to go directly. Do not stop. Do not look back. Remember, the Bible said, he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. A lot of people have shipwrecked their faith by starting out on fire, you know, chasing the devil, until the devil quits running and starts chasing, or starts threatening you with fear and intimidation. Well, that's what he used against the house of Israel. Remember when they went in to spy out the land? There were one representative out of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, 12 spies went into the land to spy it out. Did you know that only two came back with a good report? While 10, this is the punishment of the 10 tribes, it truly represents their dilemma, that Yahweh broke off the 10 and removed them from the land later on. He took them into the land, but listen, those that received the fearful report, they actually believed, as they looked upon the giants of that land as grasshoppers in their sight, they said, the men up there are so huge, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. And the Bible said that they brought this evil report back to the camp, and fear spread quickly through the camp. You see, Yahweh was giving them a blessing. It was a land of milk and honey. It took two men to carry out a pod of grapes. Now, that's pretty huge blessing, if you ask me. Now, I don't know where that land still exists over there. It's become destitute and barren. You see, curses, yes, you can have a blessing today and it turn into a curse. Did you know that Hezekiah was an example of blessing and cursing? Did you know that Yahweh blessed him with the finer things of the temple? And to showcase the blessings of his kingdom, Hezekiah looked at it as his kingdom and his blessings, because Israel was really prospering in that day. And he showed the finer treasures to the enemy. Now, the Bible tells you quickly to not let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. It also says not to reveal the secrets of Yahweh to her that lieth on the bosom, or the closest thing to you. And a lot of times, it will bankrupt or shipwreck your faith by trusting someone or something other than Yahweh. And you know, Yahweh chose the hard things. It was hard for the two spies, and the two spies were named Yahshua and Caleb. The tribe of Judah and the tribe of Ephraim, the two major tribes representing the two houses, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. The tribe of Joshua, Yahshua in the Hebrew, was to be the leader eventually of taking the children in. So Moses had a dilemma. He couldn't go in because of the fearful report and the fear of the people. They could not stand against their end. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Did you know that Yahweh could have sent, he didn't have to send the men up there. He could have sent the hornet before him. He could have sent the bee. He could have sent a whirlwind and a tree. Anything. He could have used a jackass, if that would have been necessary, to went up there and blade a couple of times and scared the living daylights out of all the enemy up on top of the mountain there. But they saw these giants in the land of milk and honey. There's always a giant standing on the territory of your faith. Now let me repeat that. There's always a giant that says you can't, you never will, you're not able, you're not worthy. You know, there is humility devils. Oh, you don't deserve that. Or, you can't do that today. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till a more opportunist time to launch your faith. The Bible said, cast your net on the right side. The children of Israel cast the lot of fear upon the bad report of the spies that seen the people in the land, and they believed the false report. Now, what was the benefit of the lack of faith? The Bible said without faith, it's impossible for you to please him. So in faith, your testimony is a tribute. And as the saying is so true, listen to this quote. Your faith will never rise above the level of your own confession. If it's to be, it's up to you to confess it. By your words, you are justified, and by your words, you are condemned. Most people talk negative. Oh, I wish I could die. Lo and behold, here it comes. Sickness, disease, or tribulation, or something that they have confessed with their mouth to bring it upon themselves. And also, here's the greatest marvelous mystery that I'll talk about tonight. Is the incredible, now this is incredible, meaning that it's incredible in the way that you look at it, because most people never look at it in this sense. What you fear, Job said, what I feared greatly come upon me. Did you know that fear attracts, there's an animalistic instinct about wild animals. And if you show fear, the animal will sense and pick up your fear, and he senses fear himself, and fear excites. Love casts out fear. But fear breeds or generates or multiplies or enlarges or enriches fear. Now, meaning that your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. Watch your words. For by your words you're justified. Talk faith. Preach faith. Sleep faith. Read your Bible. I know people that have had apprehension and fear, and the Bible says it has torment, and it will. Fear is one of the greatest tormentors that's ever been invented by the enemy, Satan, who has sowed the seed of fear into the heart of those that have to walk in and claim their spiritual territory. Everything that I've ever achieved in the kingdom principle has been won by a fight. Now, the Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Everything that you obtain in kingdom principles of positive reality, meaning a blessing to come to you. Remember, he said, I set before you a blessing and a curse. Choose this day. There's actually things that you could have at one time could be a blessing, and later on could turn into a curse. Now, you said, well, Pastor Buddy, how is that so? Well, let me give you an example. Did you know that the Bible talks about people that had a blessing, and in this case, it was the brazen serpent of the book of Numbers, chapter 21. They had a brazen serpent made and fashioned by Moses, that when they got bit with the vicious serpents, and you see they were in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They had to wander for 40 years, and Yahweh plagued them with serpents and wild beasts and animals of vicious nature. And they had to fight for their survival simply because they would not face the giants across the river Jordan. All they had to do, they did it 40 years later. But did you know, listen to me, did you know that not one of those murmurs or complainers found salvation or blessings at the end of that journey? They found death. But did you know also that the ones that did not complain, that the Bible says that their clothes, after 40 years of wandering, had not soiled, and the moths hadn't eaten them up, and time hadn't ravaged their shoes, their shoes were still intact after 40 years. Now, you talk about a shoe cobbler. Yahweh is a shoe cobbler that can shoe your feet with the feet of faith, if you have faith. And you lift up holy hands that hang down. If you take that defeated, I can't do it attitude and change it into I can, I will, and I must overcome and fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on this eternal life. Did you know that all of those that murmured and complained, they died in the wilderness without receiving the promise? And the Bible says those of faith, and you know what it takes, a grain of mustard seed. All they had to do was out of their mouth say, we can go up there. Yahweh will make a way for us. You see, at that time, in the darkest hour of your trial of faith, you don't see the remedy. Yahweh will not give you the remedy in front of you because he don't want you to walk by sight. Now, if the people have been up there, then instead of men that probably towered up to 12 to 13 feet as the giants go, if they'd have been about 5'3" and little scrawny, weasely things, then Israel said, well, we can go up there and do that. But you see, Yahweh gave them the biggest giants to look at. No doubt, by seeing this, their faith failed, and they wandered for 40 years. Think about those who had to suffer with the unbelief. Did you know that the Bible said that when Yahweh sure in a flesh body was here, that he couldn't work and do mighty miracles because of the people's unbelief that in certain areas of the country where he went, it's important to get around faith people. It's important to get around people that's used their faith over the years. And the Bible says exercising their faith unto godliness, meaning that they put their faith into action. Well, if you look at the word faith, it has an ABC effect. Faith is an action supported by belief with a confidence to perform it. That's the ABCs of faith. It's a simple rule. Remember this. Faith is an action supported with a belief. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now Yahweh said, I've set before you a blessing and a curse. He set a blessing before Hezekiah, and Hezekiah let the enemy see his blessing brought in or invited in. You see, you're supposed to keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world and have nothing. One of Jacob Israel's greatest problems is a cohabitation with the unbelievers. To bring that which is holy and distribute it among the dogs of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be so, or to mingle the blood, to give marriages to the unbelievers. The Bible says, in the seventh chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, where we're getting the faith action chapters of our faith, to demonstrate that it's by your words you're condemned and by your words you're justified. Now, you got to choose this day. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Most times when we see things that will either make us puff up and get proud, I've got a nice car. And Yahweh causes that car to blow up. And you don't have any money to repair it. And then the next thing, you're standing on the side of the road hitchhiking and wondering where the blessing went. Do not be puffed up with pride. Do not let materials buy you out or sell you out, as Satan is so often able to do. And do not curse Yahweh for the poverty that you have. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said the righteous will never be forsaken. And David said, I was once young and now I'm old. I've never seen them forsaken or their seed of begging bread. Yahweh has supplied Thomas to supply every need that you have against the things that you do. Most people want to be paid more than they're worth. They don't do nothing for Yahweh, but they want a three-car garage paid for, handed to them, lock, stock, and barrel, no mortgage. And ladies and gentlemen, that ain't going to happen. He that won't work won't eat. If you work for Yahweh, he said, whatever, seek you first. Did you know that if those people that murmured and complained had have never let that murmuring, complaining, faith-failing spirit rise up in them, it wasn't of Yahweh, it was of the devil. And the devil provoked them through sighs. Sighs has nothing to do with it, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee you that an elephant will run from a mouse, and a mouse can shake a bridge more than an elephant because of the way that their physical energy reacts to nature or to things constructed through science. It's already a proven notice that the rabbit can outrun an elephant or a giraffe or anything. So science has nothing to do. It's the things of faith that presents itself to you as a challenge that you must walk by faith and not by sight. Hezekiah, when he brought in the foreign dignitaries, the ambassadors, and showed them the kingdom of Yahweh, the precious things that belonged only to the eyes of the holy, he cast it to the dogs and became a dog in response. Do not lower your standard or yourself to the dogs of this world. Because as a dog nature, they will, like a swine's nature, turn and rend you when you cast your valuable pearls before the swine. Watch what you say. Now notice this. How often are we guilty of the things that are spoken in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14? Yahweh gave this parable. He called people and bid them to come. Well, after the bidding and people came, there was still room in the kingdom. Oh, my. You, ladies and gentlemen, the few there be that find it worthy of the faith. That's why that many will fail to make the grade or enter into the land, just like they did in the days of Moses as he led them into the promised land. They chose through unbelief to wander for 40 years till every one of them died without having obtained the promise. Those that were faithful, those who had a good report, listen to this, it's very good for you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the things that are promised to you in covenant. Do not think, because in the last days, faith and love and hope and charity will wax cold or vanish from the scene. It will be those who have the vision and the faith to maintain the overwhelming odds of opposition to our faith. Oh, yeah, they're going to put you in jail. Oh, yes, they're going to vaccinate you. Oh, yes, they're going to force you to do this and to do that. But if you remain faithful with faith, would you not rather die an honorable death standing for Yahweh than to die a terrible death for the devil with tubes running down your body and a heart machine keeping you alive as a vegetable so that they can maintain your eligibility for the state sponsorship benefits that they promise you? Did you know that those that were bidden to the feast, here's what they found out. First of all, they begin to make excuses. First thing that people do when you ask them to take a walk of faith and trust the name of Yahweh. Well, I never heard that name, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God, now Mom and Dad, and Grandma and Grandpa, and, you know, they've been in this other name for years and years and years. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is not what you've been in that's going to count. It's who you've been with that will count, and Yahweh will not walk with the disobedient, the unthankful, the unholy, the unfaithing, unbelievers that trust in something that is wrong as opposed to that which is right. The Bible said, prove all things. Now, I have challenged preachers on my radio ministry to step up and defend the name that they preach as opposed to the name that we bring to you for soul salvation. The Bible says in Acts 4:11 or 12, there is no other name. That means that you can't find another one. If you don't get the right one, you can hunt for a million years and use a million different names. You'll never have the right one. Until you get the right one, and there's not but one, there is none other name under heaven. Now, what is that name? That's the biggest question that I present to your faith. And faith needs a walk. Faith needs a launch into the deep. Now, you say, well, Mom never did believe it, and Dad never did believe it, and so-and-so never believed it, and the pastor don't believe it, and the big TV evangelists, they don't preach it. And here comes a little old ragtag preacher like Pastor Buddy and others that are preaching the sacred covenant name of Yahweh as a strong power and salvation in no other, and proving it 7,000 times, plus all of the archaeology that has gone on, all the stones that's been crying out for centuries, that his name was written before you were ever born. And the name that they're using in the New Testament is less than 500 years old. They bought oxen can't do this, and I can't keep Sabbath for this reason, and I got to do this, and boys, if I let that go, glory to God, I'm going to lose my pension and all that stuff. And if I get into that, Pastor Buddy, I've had him actually tell me, I can't walk where you are, boy. If you're right, then I'm going to split hell wide open, but I can't change. I'm too far gone. I'll just take my change and go on to heaven. Well, the Bible said, every knee shall bow. Did you know that those who murmured, they went over in the land, they saw it. They looked on the beauty and the vastness and the abundant blessing that faith had to offer. They chose sight because standing in the abundant blessing fields of Mount Zion stood the enemy, Satan posing as giants. Oh my. Think about Gideon and all his faith. He sent 300,000 men home and got 300 for his effort. Or 30,000 and got 300 out of that for his effort. 300,000 opposed him. Oh, that wouldn't even been fair fight at 300,000 versus 30. But Yahweh said that's still too many, so he sent the 30 home and only kept the 300 of them. Yet these were favors. They knew the abundance of faith that waited as their leader. It was hid, basically, when Yahweh found him, the angel revealed to him they was going to use him and a few people. You see, Yahweh said, I didn't choose you because you were the most people. I chose you because you were the fewest people on the planet to bring forth my revelation in the last days. Well, in the last days, straight is the way, and now is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that we're down to the bottom of the hour. We're going to be right back after I play you this beautiful song about the beautiful name of Yahweh. I'm coming back in part two and giving you the curse blessing effects of faith versus unbelief. Stay tuned. welcome back in here, ladies and gentlemen. We are so glad to have you. We know that time will prevent us from getting you the things that are necessary for your faith. Let's pause our faults and walk by faith. Did you know faith is a now thing? It's not tomorrow. It's a now faith. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. First of all, they brought oxen for an excuse. Your automobile, anything that you have in the material line, the others bought a field, one married a wife. Now, these are all blessings, correct? But they can be your worst enemy. They can turn in to be a curse. Did you know that when the spies could have obtained the blessing through a good report, they gave a negative report and lost their blessing? The Bible says to have faith. And the Bible also tells you not to faint when you're rebuked of him. Did you know that a lot of people start out very on fire, and then the rigors of life, or when you are opposed, or because of persecution, you begin to weaken your faith, and time grinds on the faith of those that are out in the field working for the hire. You get jealous, envy, pride, puffed up, or for various reasons, you give up and turn back. Remember, I said that those that turn back were not fit for the kingdom of Yah. Did you know that Satan can put spells upon you? Remember that the brazen serpent that Moses made became a curse in Hezekiah's time? It was a blessing in the days of Moses and became the same blessing, ladies and gentlemen. See, things don't remain the same. What Yahweh has done for you in the past, and you hold on to these things as blessings, could actually turn in to a curse. If you worship these things or hold on to these things when you should get rid of them and clean up the temple, the Bible said that Yahweh will not dwell in an unclean temple. Now, how do you make the temple unclean? We know it's not that which goes in, but it's that which proceeds out of the heart. If you run with bad company and keep company with those that love to bring blood, those that curse, those that are in drunkenness, those who are unclean, they're always bringing something out of the carnal mind of the broad fields of existence, rather than walking in a narrow path of faith. You know, it's better to dwell alone than to dwell in a house with a contentious and a brawling woman. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on the other hand, it's just as contentious to dwell with a brawling and a contentious man. What is fair for the goose here is fair for the gander. And in the kingdom principle of faith, there's neither male nor female. So then, males and females must reckon and put on the whole armor to watch those that would bewitch you. Now, what is a bewitching? Well, the doctor can bewitch you by giving you a bad report. Oh. See, ladies and gentlemen, you know people have actually died because they believed a bad report. And there was nothing to it all along. They come to find out they never had the disease that the doctor pronounced that they had. And they literally got sick and nearly died from the result of believing it. You can believe a lie and be damned. Do not fool or play in the devil's playhouse. Do not use the vessels of satanic temptation. Turn from those things. Associate yourself with the poor. Did you know the poor have time to serve Yahweh? Don't run with the rich. They'll lead you into many temptations. And the Bible says they that rich will fall into many temptations. So if you're with the rich, or or make your bed with the rich, or fellowship the rich, then what they do, you'll do, and it'll destroy your time. Now, it's awful bad to not have any riches, but sell yourself out just to have the fellowship of riding around in a big car around town, or going to frequent the places that the rich pay your way in with their credit cards, and having the pleasures. You see, Moses could have had that. He could have had the Pharaoh's credit card. He could have the camels and the fans and the pretty women and all the luxuries of Egypt that had to offer, the plum grannies and the grapes and the beautiful belly dancers that were existing in those days to entertain him and to stroke his male ego or his flesh. He was a like man of passion. Did you know that Elijah had that same passionate desire that we all have? And yet he fled. He could have been the number one prophet in the house of Ahab and Jezebel. Instead of riding around in a chariot as a noted prophet, because he was a noted prophet. But he stood alone against all of the other court appointed 501(c), the ones that are held in high esteem. You know what the Bible said about high esteem? The things which are highly esteemed among man, degrees and doctorates and appointments and education and things of this nature. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to Yahweh. Did you know that you must present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is a reasonable service? You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that demands too much of my time. I've got a good job at this company and a good job at that company, and I'm doing this for this company. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to do in the day of judgment when you are called onto the spiritual carpet of life and have to bow the knee and confess with your mouth your shortcomings? Well, Lord, she was so pretty. Yeah, but she kept you from following me. Yeah, but everybody admired her and everybody wanted her, and I spent half my time worrying about if she's going to run off with another man, Lord. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. For he that hath failed to leave house, land, wife, the children, or forsake their own life is not worthy of me. I say, oh, Pastor Buddy, Yahweh don't demand all those hard things that you're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven's going to be cheap at any price. Did you know that if you give all of your goods to feed the poor and have not the charity of truth, truth suffers long, kind, ain't envious, ain't puffed up, rejoices only in the truth, and is a faith action chapter of your life unfolding before you as you walk by faith, many are the afflictions of the righteous. For Satan will lay a mind trap, a physical trap, a material trap, or a spiritual trap, or whatever it takes. And Paul said he has many devices, and he said, I have become wise, and I am not ignorant of the devices of Satan. Are you? Is there something that's keeping you glued away from the kingdom principles? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a full-time believer and you've got your heart, soul, mind, and strength as according to the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 28, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Thou shalt love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because you can't love two masters. You can't wear Yahweh on one sleeve and a devil on the other one. You got to choose this day. And the very thing that Israel chose as blessings, Yahweh blessed them, and it later became a curse because they started to worship the blessing rather than the blesser. And so many people are holding on to the past. Well, he used to bless me for this, and he gave me this, and boy, this was a great blessing back in its day. Yeah, will they start now? No, it's just sitting there all junked out and rusted. Well, do you believe it can provide for today? Well, yeah, but I've been waiting for to get this and fixed, and I'm just waiting on the things, and it's never come true, and I'm so discouraged now. I don't know what to do. I was once young, and now I'm old. Seek Yahweh in the days of your youth. Put your money to the money changers. Step out your own faith and work for him what it's like. Because the time's coming in the end time when the clouds are going to get dark. And judgment is going to be sure, and the judgment's going to be set. And you're going to stand before Yahweh and give an account. And the Bible said, be sure your sins find you out. You can't love a curse and get a blessing. And you cannot receive a blessing and turn it in into yesterday. The blessings of yesterday will become a sure curse if you hold on to those things and worship those things of blessings rather than that which blesses you. Every day is a new adventure for Yahweh. Every day is a trial of your faith. Every day you must walk by faith and not by sight. Well, Yahweh gave me this. Look what he did. You know he loves me. Look at this big church I built. And the preacher's message is deader than last year's bird's nest. And yet people flock in because it's got stained glass windows. And it's the biggest church in town. And to be seen with the biggest preacher who's got a message of yesterday instead of a message for today. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's got a message for faithers, not failers. Yahweh's got a message for those of faith, not for those of unbelief. Unbelief is a damning sin, and you must flee from the very appearance of all unrighteousness. And unrighteousness can be in a form of a blessing. Did you know that Satan will bring the blessings of materials? He'll get you to sell out. He'll get you to turn from your poor ways. I'm just a poor Tennessee plowboy preacher. I've never had it any other way, so I don't know what it is to be rich, so therefore, I like it like it is. I have enough faith to preach my message once a week on the radio. Now, if my faith was to increase and my faith decrease to the point of a message, then what's the use of preaching 10 messages of nothing when I can preach one with the faith of everything? So some preachers preach for 500 hours a month and say nothing until it gets a repetitious, boring experience just to listen to them. When then the preachers of the favors of the day, a message for today. I live for my message of today. And I walk by faith and not by sight. I study, I fast, I pray, I seek him, and I keep myself unspotted from the world because I've tried the world and there's nothing out there but darkness and sin and despair and unbelief and a lot of giants standing on the territory. Or they'll invade, they'll come in, they'll party with you if you'll party with them. But the first thing you know, they'll weaken your faith. They'll have you running with the crowd of unbelief. And you'll leave the faith action chapter of your life and the fresh manna for the day. You see, Israel could not gather except on the day provided. That meant their faith must be there, their obedience, and their conduct must measure up to get fed the next day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh fed Elijah with the dirty birds that picked the flesh off of some carcass and brought it to the little brook that had not dried up. Every brook in Israel had dried up except that brook. And finally, when it dried up, Elijah didn't mourn and languish in his misery. He heard the fresh word of the day, rise up and leave the brook. The ravens will not be here to feed you tomorrow, but I have a widow woman that is in need to feed you the last hoe cake of her barrel in her home. Here comes this old grizzled prophet that had disobedience, and he entered into her home and asked her if she had anything to eat. And she said, I have two little hoe cakes. Ladies and gentlemen, I've eaten those hoe cakes all of my life. I love good old meal flitters, we call them down here in the South. Buttered. Oh, man, how good they are. Didn't even have a bowl of beans. I doubt if he had butter, but she had a hoe cake, the Bible said. And one was for herself, and one was for her only son, which is a symbol of the love that she had to give up her portion to feed her only son and to feed this prophet. And a prophet asked for the first one. Can you imagine him sitting there in front of her and chewing up the last hoe cake that she had in her home? Don't you think that the devil moved on her with disgust? How can this be a man of God? Where is his faith? He talks faith, and yet he wants me to give him my last meal. Ladies and gentlemen, she didn't have that root of bitterness springing up into her to get her negative. She fixed the last hoe cake, and she gave it to the prophet. As she fixed the last one for her son, and as she gave the last hoe cake to the son, no doubt the old prophet had done gobbled his up, and he probably looked hungrily over at the last one that this young boy was eating. However, just that simple act of faith brought a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil that never ran dry. That's what we're talking about here. Give all that you've got, and then some. If it's demanded, give all you've got, and Yahweh will give you his best after you have sowed the seed of your best, which is a seed. Then Yahweh will give his best to you. David said, I've never seen him forsaken or the seed of baking bread. Ladies and gentlemen, just that next day, they were selling bread. The prophet's word, how rich and how pleasant it is for those of the house of faith to walk upright and fear him. But did you know, as Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego made a decree to the king when he said, bow down and worship you, worship me, or the image that I have made, and they said, we will not. And he said, I'll burn you. And he said, whether you do or whether you don't, we will not worship the image that you have made. And the Bible says that Yahweh came walking as the fourth man in the fire. Yahweh's always there, but the fire won't start till your faith is ignited. Faith igniters, that's what we're talking about, and I've set before you a blessing and a curse. Do not worship the blessings of the past. They could become curses of the present. Walk every day as you search for the new manna. Make all things new each day. Renew your faith daily as you walk upright and fear him. Keep yourself unspotted from the world and keep a positive attitude. Well, you listen to Pastor Buddy. My time has come and gone. And I'd like to give you our mailing address tonight. Here on WWCR 507 around the world on the transmitting the Joel of the South with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. My mailing address is simply this. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, by addressing your letters to Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now, I'm live tonight, and you can call me immediately after the show if you'd like, and I'll be here to take your call. And if you get referred to a voicemail, please leave your name and number, and I will return your call as soon as possible. My number is area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. 2172. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to go into part two, Yahweh willing, with blessing and curses. We're going to show you how to break the spell of a curse. You may be cursed and not even know it. You may be a victim of a curse and not even know it. And if you are, we're going to give you the remedy of how to break the spells of the curses that the enemy... Oh, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I didn't know that the enemy could put a curse upon me. Well, he can, and he has, and he will. Did you know that the Bible says that Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy? That's a curse. All three of those that Satan lays upon you. Now, he'll come to you as a bright, shining light at first, but he'll come a dim light and flee when you need him. He won't be around. Yahweh will come as a dim light, and if you'll receive him, he'll go as the brightest light in your life, and he'll be there shining on you when you need him. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forsake Yahweh. Even in the time of the trial of where it seems impossible. Did you know that the old prophet that was standing down there surrounded by the enemy, and his servant who was to stand by his side was so fearful when he saw the large army that was sent to bring them in before judgment, and he feared, and he woke his master up, and he says to him, "We are surrounded by the enemy." And the old prophet asked Yahweh to open the servant's eyes, and lo and behold, by faith. You see, the old prophet had faith, and the old servant needed a vision. And the Bible says, Yahweh shall send you a vision. And the people that are going to pray and prosper are those that walk by the faith of a vision. And the Bible says to preach those things as daily reminders. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't beat experience. Yahweh is a strong tower. And the Bible says the righteous run into it, and they're saved. Get on the battlefield. Work for Yahweh. He's the tree of life. He's the one that will set you free if you will walk upright before him. Let's get on the battlefield. Pastor Buddy, I'll see you next Sunday night. Right on WWCR 507 around the world. May the blessings to you, Jacob Israel. Keep the faith and don't deny his name. And get away from the unbelievers and those that are under a curse.